Good morning. It's 7:25 a.m. on Wednesday, March the 20th, 2019. The vernal equinox. The picture this morning is of sunrise. If you look real close, you can see just the tip of the sun clicking up over the horizon. It's actually a little bit past official sunrise, but I waited until there was a little sliver of sun showing. It's a chilly this morning. It's something between 20 and 25 degrees. The official temperature says 18. But as George Carlin says, that's at the airport and nobody lives at the airport. It's going to be a full day today. I've got dentist at 10, cleaning. Then I've got CIFRA operations calls afternoon. Budget and accounting, rather. So, I can't talk about that. There's stuff that happens. CIFRA is one of those really interesting, and in a certain sense, I mean that in the Chinese curse sense. But stuff happens in CIFRA that I can't talk about. If it's not public, I'm not supposed to say anything. That's the rule. I signed NDA. There's a responsibility of care. There are three duties that a board member has, and one of them is care. And taking care of the organization is a key one. So a lot of stuff that happens, it seems completely crazy to people who don't understand the duty of care. And is because the individual members of the board are not allowed to comment on things that happen in the board until that thing has been made public. And so I'm not allowed to talk about things that have to do with CIFRA or my job as CFO or... Well, I guess the elections are fair game because the elections are pretty much public knowledge at this point. But still. So, yeah, I digress. Where am I on the book? The book is coming. I have no idea why I've gone down this particular rabbit hole, but I'm going down this rabbit hole. I'm looking at Angela Pirano's story and what's going on behind the scenes with the company while Otto was trying to arrange so that Sarah doesn't have to leave. And ultimately we know Sarah does leave. So his task fails. But from a storytelling standpoint, this book was really never about Sarah. It was really about Otto. And it was really about the culture of St. Cloud. Not just the culture of the coast, but of the entire operation. And so from that standpoint, I'm really happy with the way things are going. In other news, I'm at that point in the story where I just want it done. So So, covers, I've got Jesse Young, who's a Rob Dupre's cover artist. Rob gave me his name, and his artwork is really quite good. So, so there's that. So it's an interesting place my head is at. It's half in one, half in another. I put together a process for the Rocky Mountain Fiction Writers Gold Contest. We'll see how much of it survives. I spent way too much time building a prototype system for them. And the difficulty is that what it really needs is a content management system, a database management system. And the biggest difficulty is sending back the results to 250 contestants. Processing 250 contestants is a pain in the ass on each end, because you've got every one of these things that has to be brought in to the system individually. You've got all of the metadata that goes with the manuscript, and then there's the processing from intake through judging to final selection to announcing the winners, and then sending back all of those critiques and notes and scores. Geese. Dogs. But that was quite two or three flocks of geese that were trying to come together. My father used to tell a joke about how when you look at a V of geese flying along, one leg is always longer than the other leg. Always. They're never equal. They're never evenly linked out. You know, it's one leg of the bee is longer than the other leg. And the question, the joke is, do you know why? And of course, the answer is pretty much, I guess it's pretty much a dad joke, because it was my father, number one. Number two, it's kind of a stupid answer. More geese. Every time I see geese, I think of him. So it'll be 14 years. He passed away in 2005. Get ready, sit with me. Monk post. Hey, he passed away in 2005. He came out for my graduation in 2004. And, got to see me. Hooded as Dr. Nathan Lowell. And to see me honored as on the Dean's list. And to give the farewell from the class. And it was one of those, you know, I looked at a lot of farewell speeches and they were all kind of like self-referential. And it didn't like, it's like, well, it's not, what do I want to say for the class? What do I want to say for the people who are now PhD students? And the interesting thing to me was the idea of farewell. Farewell is not something that people, in its earliest origination, farewell was what the people who were staying said to the people who were leaving. And what the people who were leaving said was goodbye. And this is pretty well documented. It goes way back to Old English, and probably even before that. But the German for going, for the road, for anything like that, is fahren. Fahren weg is have a good road, have a good journey. And so the people who were staying would say farewell, and the people who were leaving would say, God be with you. Which shortened became goodbye. Now I had a copy of this printed out, and I gave it to the signing, the American Sign Language interpreter, so that she had it before I stood up. And she looked it over and she said, "Are you trying to kill me?" I said, "No, actually, so I figured I'd give it to you in advance, so you'd have a chance to look it over and see how you wanted to handle what I was about to say." Because I used the old English words. And so it was really a talk about journeys. It was a talk about how every ending of a journey is the beginning of the next. Of course, except for one. And that really, that idea really colors a lot of the Ishmael Wong story, and to a certain extent, Chance Fairport. In fact, all of them, really, because it's such a universal theme. We tend to look at the end of the story, the end of the journey, the end of the trip, the end of the day. But the end of the day is only the beginning of the next, unless, of course, it's not, in which case all bets are off. But he came and saw that speech. My kids were with him out in the audience. They were really small. They didn't have any idea what was going on. And I got the Dean Citation for Excellence for my work with the National Center for helping create programs for teachers of blind and visually impaired, deaf and hard of hearing, and those with significant support needs. 2004, I don't remember if that was... No, the National Center was formed by then. But I had letters of support from a dozen programs around the country that I'd worked with. And seeing them all in one place was... It was pretty astonishing. And they gave me a binder with all the letters and accolades and stuff in it to justify the Dean Citation. I showed it to my father, and he's reading it, and he's going through every letter, and he says, "You did all this." And I said, "Yeah." Those are the highlights. I did some other stuff, but yeah. And he's like, "I had no idea. I had no idea." Yeah, nobody does. Nobody, and it's not like anybody needs to. It's not like anybody. Well, I was gonna say it's not like anybody cares. What they don't care is that I did it. That I did it isn't really important. That it got done. That I was able to help Portland School of Optometry. That I was able to help UMass. I was able to help. Cal State LA. That I was able to help make programs for teachers to support these populations that needed extra help. That's what was important. Programs are still going. The stuff that I set in motion is still out there. It's still cooking along. The business education part is still dumb. It's too much really bad distance ed. I still call it distance ed, even though I know that's kind of redundant. Those who were around when I was still talking about education know that all education. I say all education is at a distance, even if it's only a couple of feet. And all learning is internal. Because no teacher can learn for you. And that's something you have to do for yourself. The teacher opens the door, the Chinese proverb, but the student must enter. So, to celebrate Ostara, the equinox, I'm supposed to be walking, marveling at the magic of nature, of the geese, of the trees beginning to bud a little bit, of the lengthening day, the return to the light. And now, from this point forward until the solstice, the light will be growing in power. I hear a skateboard. Oh no, it's somebody. They're working on a roof over. Roofers are out. It smelled like spring the other day. It didn't smell like spring this morning. It smells a little fall-like, actually. But it's a beautiful morning, and I got my work out of the way. I had an alarm set for 7 o'clock so I could get out for sunrise. And here I am, at the back gate. Tomorrow's another day, and with any luck at all, I'll talk to you then.